Rich on the Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590 The Fan. The final hour before we race home to beat Snowmageddon, Icemageddon, Connor Bedard of all storms.
I think we're going to be all right.
Yeah, you feeling
good? Will we get anywhere else this weekend? I'm not really sure.
I'm already prepared that this might be an Uber Eats Christmas for me because I don't think I'm getting out in time. And so I might just be...
Good thing you have all week.
Ordering Uber Eats for dinner.
I mean, it's not... We're not there yet.
No, it's okay. I have all those baked goods I made for you that I forgot at home. I'll eat all those. What a way to top off our final guest before the holiday break than none other than Chris Cuthbert, play-by-play announcer, NHL and Sportsnet, and dad of Justin Cuthbert. Probably the best part of his title is that, I'm sure, right? You're happy to be part of the show this morning, Mr. Cuthbert.
Good morning. Happy Festivus. First time caller, long time listener, and good to be with you.
Aww.
All right, we just did grievances. Do you have any grievances to start off with?
You know, I'm a pretty positive, upbeat, happy guy.
Yeah.
And the only thing I could think of as a play-by-play guy, and we went through this year, especially at the Olympics, I have a plea and a complaint to all jersey designers. Mm-hmm. Could you design sweaters for hockey that we can read the numbers? I mean, the Canadian Olympic team was just the worst for that. And even yesterday, you know what? I hadn't had trouble with the Beaver numbers until yesterday wasn't as sharp, and I'm not a big fan of the Flyers orange on white either. So it was a sketchy performance yesterday, and I'll blame it partially on jersey design.
So your first period was a lot like the Leafs yesterday.
It was indeed. They had to fire up another pot of coffee for me too.
Maybe Justin should get you LASIK eye surgery for Christmas.
I've already done that, so that I can't use that as an excuse.
Can you double down on LASIK?
I don't know if that would be a good strategy or not.
Okay, so you said long-time listener, first-time caller. What do you like best about the new Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish?
Well, I'll tell you what I don't like, and I'll start with that.
I don't think that was the question. Of grievances.
Yikes. Yikes.
Well, what I don't like is I enjoy it so much that I'm waking up earlier, and I will roll around in bed and take a look at the clock, and it's 5:50 or whatever, and I'm thinking I could just shut my eyes again, but in 10 minutes they're on, so that's my biggest complaint. But you know what? I'm honored to be. You know, a guest even once when you've got a lineup like Charles Davis and John Morosi, and you knocked it out of the park with Peter Drury, who, I mean, he's just the best. So the quality of your guests is terrific, but just you two and the way you work together has been awesome, and look forward to a lot more of it.
Well, you say that, but you took exception to one of my questions with Peter Drury. I asked about his process, and you were like, never, ever, ever ask a play-by-play man about his process, because we're so special that we can't, we're like...
It's top secret.
I found it an interesting question. I just thought you took it a little far with when you're basically alleging that Peter was scripting his material.
I don't think I was alleging.
Well, it sounded like that to me.
Okay, so I'll ask you the same question. How much preparation, pre-preparation goes into your stuff just to bother you the same way?
Well, you know, I guess I could almost be guilty of over-prep at times, but as he said, and I thought he put it well, that you're always thinking about potential outcomes, and, you know, I guess, you know, even driving in the car and you hear a song and there's a lyric, you think, man, that could apply somewhere down the line, and you kind of file it away, and... you know, I never did talk to Tom Cheek about it, and I think it's the greatest call in Toronto sports history, the touch 'em all. And I don't think he planned to say it because he didn't know Joe Carter was going to hit that home run, but I think he probably had a touch 'em all call at the right possible time. And the Joe Carter home run to win the World Series was the perfect time. So I guess for play-by-play guys, you're going to get great moments, and it's the on-field, on-ice moment is the piece of art, but what you're trying to do is put an appropriate frame on it, and that's what you try to do, and sometimes you get it right, and in the case of a guy like Peter Drury, he seems to always get it right.
Oh, you've had a few of those yourself. We don't have to run down the list. We'd be here all day, and we're 1 hour away from the end of our show. So did Justin ever show any indications of being a successful broadcaster in his youth? Was he good at public speaking?
Oh,
what was his?
No.
Nothing, eh?
The funny thing is, in everything I have suggested or recommended in his career, almost all of it has been ignored, and he's gone the opposite way. So, and maybe that's the key to his success. I did find the writing career, which I was extremely impressed with, surprising, because I used to edit some of the high school material, and it needed a heavy edit.
Yeah.
But then he goes to university, and I remember he did a piece on George Shivallo against Muhammad Ali in the 60s, and he sent it to me for a kind of a look-over edit.
You can say it. It was a full edit. We needed to make sure.
We needed to make sure.
In all honesty, I don't even know if I had to cross a T or dot an I, and I thought, where did that come from? Because 5 years ago, I would have had to rewrite the whole thing, It's been pretty impressive, but as he may or may not have told you, I said, you know, to get into this business, you probably should be going to Saskatchewan, because that's what I had to do, and, you know, get experience in a small market. But no, he was going to start in Toronto, and it's worked out, so it's great.
Well, we're glad to have him here, both of you, and we're lucky in this city to have some good broadcasters. Okay, one more about Justin before we talk about real sports here. Why did Justin never make it in hockey? What was his downfall? Like, analyze his game. Like, you know, he seems like an athlete. He tells me about his beer league success. Over the last couple of weeks, he said he scored the game-winning goal twice in 3 weeks.
You asked. I didn't come here bragging about that.
Why didn't he make it big, Chris?
I think scoring touch was a major issue.
It was
a major issue. I mean, he could skate as well as anybody, and he kind of had a bit of an Alex Kerfoot game to him.
Wow!
Everyone knows what that means.
He wishes he went to Harvard too.
But a lack of finish was, and you know what? And I can tell this story. I think one of his big moments, got the call up to the big team, and he lasted 5 minutes. He was so fired up for the game that he swore at the linesman on the first line change of the game, because he was blocking the bench door, and immediately was removed from the game. So
Justin.
Yeah, that doesn't augur well for a future.
No Lady Bing for you.
I don't even remember that. I mean, I remember there being
some
issues.
Oh, you remember that.
Yeah, he's embarrassed.
I remember the high school game, first playoff game, I got kicked out the first shift hitting someone from behind.
You were so angry
when that happened. It was not a good scene.
I didn't know you were a goon.
No, it's just he turned.
Well, and I'm thinking about the Newmarket game, too. Can we tell that story?
Yes. Justin, shut up.
The Cuthbert family indulgent hour is lasting too long here.
Just text it to me, Chris.
Next time, we'll
get into that one, too.
Okay, let's go to some Leafs. Better equipped for the playoffs this year? Yes, no, and in what ways?
What we've seen so far, for sure, just the way they're playing defensively. And, you know, I thought about it yesterday with Austin Matthews, and where, you know, he's, what, on a 40-goal pace approximately, not a 60-goal pace. But it's like he has completely embraced the concept of team, of what has to be done right to have playoff success. And just that play yesterday, and I, you know, my initial call on it was that Farabee misses a wide open net without any reason to. But when we looked at the replay, there's Matthew's stick defensively, just enough to disrupt what should have been the tying goal for the Flyers. But he's been doing that since the start of the year. I think as we go on here, it looks more and more like the one big thing they need is that second line left winger or center, if you're moving Tavares to the wing. And I heard you talking about going all in, and I get it. but that requires some difficult decisions. And maybe the biggest decision that they're going to have to make is Matthew Knies is their number one prospect. How important is Matthew Knies to keep, or is he the chip which will get you that one big piece or part of the package that will get you the one big piece? And I think that's an excruciating decision for them, but it's the one that probably is the ticket to that big name that that may or may not put them over the top.
Why is Matthew Knies an excruciating decision? Like, I get he's their top prospect, but is he can't miss? Is he going to change the fortunes of this franchise? Like, what would be the reluctance there to go for it this year when it's at your disposal, when it's there for you? Go on a run. This is the best team you're going to have. This might be Kyle Dubas's last shot. What is it about Matthew Knies, I guess, that you're hearing or maybe seeing that makes him that difficult of a decision?
Well, if it's a guy that for the next 4 or 5 years could score 25 or 30, you know, on an entry-level contract and be that second-line guy, sometimes we get, you know, we do kind of get caught up in the big names. Who was the bigger acquisition last year in the playoffs? Was it Claude Giroux, who got all the headlines up to the deadline, or was it Nick Paul, who even people in Ottawa were thinking, what's Tampa looking at with Nick Paul, and why did they give him such a great contract? Sometimes it's the subtle move and not the big name, and sometimes it's the moves you don't make. Do you want to be haunted that you traded away a guy that ends up being a 30-35 goal man for 5-6 years in the position you were looking for? And I don't know if Matthew Knies is that, and they've got to decide that, but he's probably not a guy that you can expect that can make a huge difference in the first year, but over the next 3-4 years, he could be a very significant piece.
Well, he'd be playing maybe alongside some of the core four that are producing at such a great rate this season. I'm curious what is more impressive to you. William Nylander so far, and he's got 20 goals as of yesterday. He's kind of gone under the radar, I think, maybe underappreciated. And then obviously there's the Mitch Marner storyline, which has been, I'm sure, as you know, quite prolific this year. Who's been most impressive for you?
Two different things, because I think Marner has been the most impressive, but I think the fact that Nylander is right there in the discussion, and maybe I agree, but completely under the radar for what he's done. We mentioned on the broadcast yesterday, his 20th goal last year was scored on February the 26th. He's going to obliterate his career best this year, and he's almost on a 50-goal pace. And I think one of the key things they've done this year is that switch where Marner continues to excel with Tavares, and Nylander seems to have taken it to a different level with Matthews. And I think it puts opposing teams in a bigger bind on what line you're going to try and shut down. So, and again, you look at Marner and Tavares, and if you could find that right piece, and I think Kelly Yarncroke's stopgap in that position, and if you can move Yarncroke into the bottom six, I think maybe you've got all your bottom six questions answered as well. So again, we come back to that one spot in the top six it might be the missing element for everything.
Okay, so all three of us are in the media. We're all in charge of, I guess, within being in the media, telling the stories of, NHL and beyond, and making sure that we're covering the right things. And a lot of, I guess, more than others, you're responsible for that. But part of that is always these really heroic performances in the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's what we like to romanticize the most. Players gutting through injury and lifting the trophy at the end. But in reality, last year, one of the gutsiest performances came inside the play-by-play booth. I don't know if this story has been told, and it should be told. But do you want to detail the pothole in Denver and what you had to go through in the Stanley Cup Final last year?
Ailish, this is it's an attempt just to embarrass his father.
Oh, that's not fair.
On Toronto radio, but
no,
we walked back
good
from the game.
No, it is a good story. All right. It's a good story.
I maybe should have followed up, because I didn't help out my fellow hockey fans because, anyway, I'll get to that in a moment. But we walk back after the games in Denver, and it's usually you're walking back in the dark, but in a large crowd. And we always seem to be in a bit of a hurry to get back after the games. And there was a chance to cross a light, and there was about 10 seconds left on the crosswalk. And so I said to Simmer, let's go. And I broke into a sprint, and we kind of cut across a very small piece of grass. And what I couldn't see was this huge hole.
No.
And I went down. And when I went down, I didn't go down gracefully like you did, Ailish, in Buffalo
on the table. Oh, Justin.
So I went down, and I went into a bit of a tuck, and I landed on my briefcase. Now, I ruined a suit, and I'm bleeding. The hands are all bleeding. But what he's bringing up is I either bruised or cracked ribs. And I was in, I must admit, I was in agony for about a month. I had x-rays when I got to Edmonton. And, so I had to play with a little pain.
Oh, my goodness.
Wasn't he anyway, I thought it was the Stanley Cup Final.
No, well, it kind of carried over. In fact, the one I had to kind of sleep at the edge of the bed, and I kind of would fall out of bed because it was the only way I could get out of bed. And one night in Edmonton, I guess I kind of went diagonally, and I couldn't reach the end of a large bed. It took me about a half hour to get out of bed. I missed the morning skate just because it took me so long to get out of bed. But anyway, that's I think Craig Simpson just thought I fell, and he went back to check it out, and there was a hole. And it was actually so significant in the final when we were walking back, and I was kind of standing clear of it. I kind of looked over, and I saw about three or four people kind of trip, and one guy actually put his leg in, and it kind of went kind of halfway to his knee, the hole. So the folks in Denver, I thought about I thought about litigation, because some of the Avalanche broadcasters said the road work in Denver, it needs some work.
Not a punctured lung like Patrice Bergeron in the playoffs, although maybe it could have been
close.
A punctured lung. Maybe you should have got that checked out too, but you had to grind through in the Stanley Cup Final, and you deserve a little bit of credit for that. If you look around the sports world, we just finished the World Cup and Super Bowl coming up, but you're confined to, you know, your lane. You've done a lot of great cups, now doing the Stanley Cup Final, doing these Leaf games. Is there an event that you know you will never call, but you wish you could?
Well, I'm envious of that World Cup, and I did think as I was watching it, I understood. I think I had a feeling it took me back to 2010, and I was thinking about Peter Drury just nailing it, and I thought about the satisfaction that he would have leaving the stadium that day, and I was I was envious, and I had that kind of mutual understanding of how special that moment is, and how, you know, if there is another moment out there, I'd love to have it. But if you're asked, and I, you know what, I started my actual hockey career with Hockey Night in Canada started because I did the North American Soccer League for a team owned by Molson, and that kind of made the connection, which is strange enough, but it was the Montreal Manic, and that's why I got to host in 1986 in Mexico at the World Cup. But I always thought it'd be neat to call an NFL game, and I've called every Canadian sports team that has played at least one game except the Raptors. But and I guess the Vancouver Grizzlies, but the Raptors. But I've called all the football, the baseball, the hockey, and the soccer teams when we had that back in the 80s. I'm pretty happy with what I'm doing. And you used the term. I have learned that after years of doing a little bit about everything, that staying in my lane is probably the smartest thing to do at this point.
Goodness, if we had you doing play-by-play and Charles Davis doing color for an NFL game, I think
Gaylor should be able to handle
that. I think I would die. Okay, so
I'd be in pretty good hands. I think I don't know if I could do an NFL game now because I don't keep as tight tabs as you do.
Hard.
Although I would question the tabs Jay keeps based on some of these wake and rakes, but. But I'd be in pretty good hands with Charles Davis for sure.
Well, we did our gift exchange, and I did get Justin sports betting for dummies, so maybe he can pull up his socks
and improve in the new year.
But before we let you go, we had a question, because I told my favorite Christmas gift story that I received when I was young on the air, and I'm wondering, what was the best Christmas gift that Justin ever got?
Well, he told me that. I'd forgotten that it would be the best, but Justin
was...
Come
on, this is easy the best.
Well, I'm glad it was, but you were a big fan of Mike Comrie, and I had a great relationship with Mike when he broke into the league, and he was one of those guys that was wide-eyed about being on Hockey Night in Canada, and I think he gave me the time of day because of that. And at one point, I mentioned to Mike that he was Justin's favorite player, and he had just started using the new Synergy orange sticks. Ooh. And I just checked the year, and I believe that was the first year that the sticks came out. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, that's good. You don't have to give a stick. And he said, no, I insist. That's really cool, and I want him to have this stick. So I took the stick home, and it was under the tree. And I remember the first game or two, it was over the Christmas holidays, I guess there was a tournament, and Justin standing in the lobby with the orange Synergy, and it was like he was holding the Holy Grail. He was drawing a crowd. If Mitch Marner had walked in the lobby, it would have been a split between how many kids wanted to see Marner and how many kids wanted to see this Synergy, because nobody had them. And how long did it last? About two games, three games, in the middle of a game, the stick gets broken in his hands, and he literally stops on the ice and is looking at the stick in two pieces, which was, I know, crushing. I don't think it mattered what the score was or whether he got a goal that day, because the stick broke, and so that was the end of the best Christmas present ever.
Yeah, the problem is the attention worked two ways. The attention was positive in the lobby, but once I got on the ice, everyone was
slashing.
I remember everyone slashing at me because I was the kid with the stick that no one had.
Wow.
And I guess I kind of deserved that fate. If you're in that position, you're going to draw the attention. You're going to get your hands all mangled up because everyone's trying to slash the stick out of your hands.
You know, that would have looked good in your office right now, but no, you had to be that guy and take it on the ice. So,
well, when are you two celebrating your holidays together? Before or after the 25th?
No, we've got the big Christmas Eve.
Extravaganza tomorrow.
Yep. Yeah, mom's side of the family is here tomorrow, and that is usually pretty fun. And we've got a one-year-old addition to the crew this year, a nephew for Justin, and that's going to be pretty exciting too. So, Christmas Eve's a lot of fun when we all get together.
Well, I hope you have a safe and sound holiday. Merry Christmas to you. Thanks so much for coming on. It was nice to have you, and I know that Justin just loved every second of it.
I think he's cringing, but Ailish, it was great to be with you.
We got through it.
Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thank you.
Festivus,
yes.
And a happy new year and continued success. We love the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Happy Christmas. Happy New Year.
Cheers. Christmas.
Justin's
there
dad.
There was Chris Cuthbert.
That was awesome. Can we get him on weekly?
We kind of like ran through the gamut of stories. So I don't think we have anything else.
It was really nice.
See, that was the thing. Is like
you
I
did
had,
well. You weren't cringy.
I finally got him to agree to tell a story, the pothole story.
Yeah, I love that.
Because he just refuses anything that I find funny. He just will not.
I can't believe that happened. I thought what that story was going when he said he was running across the street. I thought he was going to get hit by a car.
I remember my mom being like just terrified. Like it was. He was in a pretty bad spot.
But what a grinder.
Spot.
He couldn't get out of bed for 30 minutes that day.
Pretty bad spot he was in, I think.
I was going to say this, and I didn't want to cross the line because I don't know if we're besties yet, Chris and I. But he needed one of those life alert.
I don't know if he would have loved that.
The life alert. Yeah,
I don't know if he would have loved that.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. But that I didn't, I don't know. But we'll have to get him on a couple more times before I bring that up. That was fun. Okay.
That was fun.
Well, it's the holiday season. Things are fun and goofy on the show today. Send in your wake and rake picks, please, because it's your last chance to win some money here before you have to go to the mall tomorrow and spend it all on your loved ones. And hopefully you can get there because the Connor Bedard of storms is starting to kick up. I'm getting some messages in the text line that things are brewing.
Uh-oh.
Our listeners across Ontario have sent in some meteorologist messages, so best of luck out there. We're going to take a break. We have lots to run down, obviously, because it's a jam-packed weekend of sports. Raptors in action tonight against the Cavs. We have pick aside. We've got Christmas weekend, NBA and NFL, and more fun. That's next on the Wake and Rake. All right, this is it. The final 25 minutes before the holiday break.
You're really feeling the sort of vacation
vibe. I'm in a different boat.
I'm like,
here.
All right, I work next week. It's not a big deal.
Well, that's
your last day of school for sure.
I'm last day of school mailing it in here, just chatting on the text line with my friends here. We got an update. Brantford is in full blizzard mode. Temperature dropped from 2 degrees in Oakville an hour ago to -4 in Brantford. Blowing snow and low visibility.
We really should have looked outside.
Be careful, folks. Getting nervous now. We have a big old weekend week, end of the month, to set up here, starting with pick a side, which I'd just like to get through real quick because I hate it. We're losing 21-14. We're cooked, but...
We're not cooked.
Okay, well then, if we go 3-for-3 and they go 0-for-3, then we just are rapidly approaching, but they're dynamite. They won all three last time. I don't know what's going on with them.
They're just good handicappers. They don't need this sports betting for dummies book like I do.
Okay, guys, let's do pick a side.
And now it's time for Pick a Side on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Good morning, folks. How are we back there?
We're doing swell back here, right, Josh?
Swell.
We're swell?
Feeling a little undefeated last week.
Oh, yeah. Woo!
I can, before we get into picks, you mentioned the weather. I can provide you with the official weather
update.
Okay. From this vantage point, looking outside the window.
You can see?
Yes, I can see. We can see from the front door.
What? How?
No. I don't know if you could see it from there. Maybe the angle's not good, but I can see it from here. Anyway, it's still wet. There's no snow accumulation as of yet. So that is the update for us here.
We need at least 10 feet out the door.
We just need to avoid the freezing. Like if it stays above zero.
Flash freezing is
bad. If it stays
bad.
Above zero, we'll get home safely. If all of a sudden it's -6 and it's wet, we're going to be in a little bit of trouble on the way home. Mm-hmm. So just stay above zero and we'll be all right.
I believe you guys have the pick this week to kick us off.
Oh, do we ever.
Do you want to open these gifts first or no?
We'll do pick a side, then we'll open their gifts that they provided us.
Okay.
Do
you guys want us to open your gifts on air?
I'm comfortable doing it, Josh.
It's up to you guys.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. I don't know, something.
We didn't know you guys were getting us gifts, and then we were thrown off because we said no gifts, and then you provided gifts. So we're very grateful, but stop buying us stuff, okay?
Especially coffee. It's got to stop.
Okay, so pick a side up first. Just not even a question. We both came in. We said 3-2-1. What do you like? Bengals -3 over the Pats. And it's Charles Davis game, so like you can't go wrong.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that. I love the Bengals right now. He mentioned it. Burrow, MVP, he could get in there. But like it's more about the Patriots than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know. How quickly do you turn the page after last weekend's disaster? How quickly do you turn the page on what has been a right-through season for them? Like, it just hasn't been good. One team's peaking, one team's fading. We'll take the 3 points. Win by a field goal if we push. I guess it's not the greatest thing in the world because we need the wins to catch up. But I still like
it. There should be half points for pushes. And I thought we should have brought this up a long time ago. It should have been half points because we would have a couple of extra points.
Yeah, maybe. But it's better. It's better to, it's a good one to bet on because if you get the 3 points, it's safe. Mm-hmm. You just don't lose your money in this. It's not maybe the best for that reason. But again, I'm still pretty comfortable with it. I like the Bengals a lot this week.
All right. Bengals, especially with Joe Burrow and his MVP chase, Jalen Hurts out. I could take a couple strides forward. Okay. You guys, your first pick.
Josh and I were talking about it back here, actually. And I was talking myself into the Patriots on at home as dogs.
Do it. Double down.
No, I'm not going to do that.
No,
I'm not.
No, come on.
You're scared.
I was talking myself into it for a variety of reasons, and it was Charles Davis motivated too. But I have another Charles Davis motivated pick here. We're team narrative big time back here.
Love the narrative.
Yeah, we love narratives. Good narratives. Philly +4.5 on the road in Dallas.
Damn it.
Eagles 4-1 against the spread this year against teams with winning records. But Charles Davis was the motivating factor. He dropped that wonderful story about Gardner Minshew talking about Mike Leach at his funeral earlier this week. And I don't know if that doesn't give you enough juice to sort of bet on Gardner Minshew. Mm-hmm. I don't know what will. So Gardner Minshew and the Eagles on the road getting 4.5 Love that.
That's what we wanted to.
Was that our next one?
We had one above it, but it was kind of a tie.
We liked it a lot. The narrative, I think there, I mean, what Jalen Hurts is obviously Jalen Hurts, MVP level. He's been brilliant. He can do it all. But that's one of the better backups in the league, is it not, Gardner Minshew? And more important than that, it's one of the best rosters in the league. Rosters, good rosters, superb rosters can make up for injuries, even ones at the quarterback position. I like the, I was going to say Phillies. I like the Eagles a lot this week.
I always like the Phillies. Okay, our second selection then, since that's off the board, is Niners minus 6.5 over the Commanders.
So this is a little bit of a, you know, the line moving against us. This was at 7.5 earlier. I don't get it. I get, like, it's Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy's passed every test thrown at him.
Yo, he's a gem.
And on the flip side of that, Taylor Heinicke is regressing hard. He has not been good. He got bottled up by the New York Giants. And now we've got the San Francisco 49ers defense at full strength with the presumptive Defensive of the Year winner in Nick Bosa on the other side. I think it's going to be a miserable afternoon for Taylor Heinicke.
Man.
And I think guys like Christian McCaffrey and everyone on that offense can carry the load, can continue to lift up Brock Purdy. I think the 49ers win this thing by 20+. I'm going after an alternate line, but for this pick, we'll do the Niners minus 6.5 at home.
Very nice. Our second selection here, another, again, going narrative base here. Pittsburgh at home, minus 2.5 against the Raiders. Raiders cross-country, cold weather, outdoor conditions, evening and tomorrow night, Saturday evening in Pittsburgh. That place gets rocking. And also, Franco Harris passed away earlier this week, who's an icon there. He was going to have his number retired regardless, and unfortunately he won't be there to participate in it. But they're going to honor him and have a wonderful ceremony. There's no way in heck that the Steelers are losing this game tomorrow night. Steelers at home, minus 2.5. And I mean, statistically, 5-1 against the spread against, teams with winning records this season. So I like Pittsburgh at home.
Well, the good news is if you guys have a good week, it's going to be a profitable week for me because I like all of your picks. I'm also going to be playing the Steelers just by myself on my own little...
You're picking our side.
Betting for dummies.
Yeah, so basically you are on their team.
Should have been doing it all season long because I do like the Steelers, and I didn't know that about Franco Harris. It's going to be an emotional night. It's what, the night game?
Yep.
Christmas
standalone
Eve.
Prime time. Yep.
Standalone. I mean, come on. This checks out off all the boxes. I like the Steelers too. You guys are, there's a reason why you're ahead.
Did you know that this weekend is supposed to be one of the worst weathers ever calculated in the NFL, like game wise, not just one game? Like, apparently
you say the worst weathers.
I don't know what I said. Okay. I'm 10 minutes from vacation. Don't listen to the thing
okay.
I say,
right.
But the worst type of weather in many of these games right now. So just something to consider. There's a huge storm hitting the US as well. So I don't know, funky stuff with the weather.
It's going to be a wonky weekend, I think, when both like holiday days are chock full of football. We've got weird weather. We've got weird narratives.
Weird weathers, actually.
I mean, things might just go completely haywire.
Okay, so we have two left that we liked. Did you want...
Well, this is the final pick, right?
Yeah.
What were they? Lay them out.
Giants plus 5 or my Lions minus 2.5.
So...
I'm trying to see if they reacted.
For me, they're begging you to take the Lions 2.5, right?
Yeah.
They're begging you to take the 2.5.
Everything to play
the
for.
The key number is right there, and yet it hasn't moved. People aren't betting the Lions. I'm probably going to be the dummy betting the Lions at some point, but I feel better about getting 5 with the New York Giants.
It's the holiday season, and I will give you this gift of Giants plus 5.
I appreciate that. I just think the Giants, another Charles Davis narrative play, he says, and he agrees, that there's a little resurgency happening here. And I just think the Giants can keep this close. Minnesota always plays one possession games. Minnesota can come from behind and erase 33 point deficits. But guess what? They fall behind. And when you fall behind, it's hard to cover numbers. I'll take the Giants in that strong defense.
It is now plus 4.
I'll still take it.
Okay.
We might be in push territory again, but whatever. Four and a half, five.
Accurate from this hour.
Four and a half, five
moment.
Would be a lot better.
Four and a half. I had
four and a half.
Generosity back there.
It's 4.5.
They know they're in a strong position when they're giving us a half point on a key number.
It's holiday season, Justin.
There you go. We'll take the 4.5.
That was in consideration as well over here because
nice.
Yeah, I mean, they have such a propensity, these Minnesota Vikings,
what a
to play
word.
Close games. So
fantastic word.
Danielle.
But in the end, I wasn't going to go there, but the pick I was going to go with, and it's still there. We're going to take Seattle plus 10 on the road against the Chiefs. Line's big. The line is very, very big. And that's mostly the motivating factor here. And I think when everybody zigs, you got to zag sometimes. And the Seahawks have not been playing very well, obviously, as of late. But they've been playing relatively close games. And so for this to be a double-digit spread, I think, is a little bit extensive. And there's a lot of – you got to lay a lot of points here with the Chiefs. Also, Kansas City, 6-15 since 2020.
Yeah, they've looked a little bit against the spread, too.
Against the spread when they are favored by 7 or more. So 6-15 is their record over the last 2-plus seasons now when they've been favored by that much. Even though it's at home, I think they're going to trade scores. I think Seattle is capable of scoring enough. So Seahawks, plus 10.
God, I hope you're right again because I got to play Geno Smith at a fantasy football semifinal this weekend with Jalen Hurts out with injury.
Rough.
So I'm a little desperate. And Geno Smith's season has really tailed off. But hopefully that kind of porous at sometimes Kansas City Chief defense, rather, will allow some yardage.
Okay, so let's run through our pick aside. Bengals -3, Niners -6.5, and Giants +4.5. That's Justin and I, Danielle and Josh. Eagles +4.5, Steelers -2.5, and Seattle +10. Best of luck, guys.
Should we quickly open their gifts so they
can
comment?
Yes, okay. This one looks like it could be a bottle of some sort of alcoholic substance.
Oh my God. It very well might be.
Oh, here we go. This is an Italian, eh?
Of course.
Ooh. Okay.
Nothing but the best.
I don't know.
Nothing but the best.
I don't know anything about this. I'm very excited. It's a red wine. It looks like Daniele knows his Italian, so this has got to be good.
Yes, it is
red. Tell me about this red.
They're both red wine. Ailish, your bottle was selected purposefully because it has the little pink insignia on it. So that's why you got
one.
And Justin got the plain little white
one. Yeah, because that's him, plain.
but no, it's red wine.
Thank you.
This is probably the most traditional, classic Italian style.
Oh, I love it.
Gift. Every single year, right, you give out bottles to people that...
I'll take it.
As a sign of a token of appreciation. And so it's just a classic way we always do it year over year.
And a gift card? Danielle.
No, that was from Josh.
No, this is in Danielle's gift.
Oh,
You don't have, there's little notes
Thank
in them.
You
don't have to read
the notes. Don't read the notes.
Don't read it. You're going to make me emotional if I read it.
So,
Thank you, Danielle.
No, you're welcome.
I will be opening that bottle of wine while I'm snowed in having my Uber Eats Christmas dinner.
Yes. Josh gets us a gift card from Tim Hortons, which I like.
Back to him.
But don't you dare. You guys buy us coffee way too much. This is almost like you're rubbing it in our face. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Josh.
I kind of wish you did mine first.
It's beautiful. Thank you very much, you guys.
Thank you, guys.
They're very useful gifts because they will be consumed in the next 3 days while I'm hibernating.
I'm going to be handing them right back to you to buy.
I was actually going to say, those are for you guys. Don't you dare use those to buy us.
No, it's happening. It's definitely happening.
Well, thanks, guys. It's been a wonderful year.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Let's lay down a wake and rake.
Let's make some money.
Okay, quickly, I'll give you mine.
Yes.
I'm fading the Raptors tonight.
Oh, okay.
Fading the Raptors.
That's a turn of events here.
-4.5. Yeah, damper the mood, quick turn. Cleveland at home. Listen, the Raptors, they got a 52-point performance to eke out a victory over the New York Knicks on the second half of a back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
I think this Raptors team is still fighting it, still finding it. Right after Pascal Siakam goes off, it's like, okay, maybe a little more attention to Pascal here after a performance that gets national attention. I think the Cleveland Cavaliers are a difficult matchup in general for the Raptors. Close game, maybe one on free throws late. With that spread being so close and that being close to even money, I'll just lean Cavaliers. I know you might not want to do, that might not be the vibe heading into the holiday season, but I feel like that's the right pick tonight.
Okay. You made your bed.
I did.
I'm going to pick Alexander Ovechkin over 3.5 shots. The guy is at the door of greatness right now. He's pressing. This is the last game before the break.
Get himself a Christmas gift.
He needs to score a goal tonight. I would almost put a goal in the wake and rake, but I'm not that bold, okay? But what I am feeling is they're at home against the Jets. I would also maybe parlay like two goals, like an OV two-goal night. I wouldn't be surprised. All right. But he's right on the edge of making... greatness. So he's going to be pressing the shots. I'm seeing at 3.5. He got 6 last night. He wants to score. So it'll be 3.5.
Very
shots.
Reasonable. A lot more palatable to cheer for, I guess, compared to my pick. But if the Wake and Rake's going to win, you need my pick too. So let's get to the anchor submissions.
Okay. Lots to go through here. Adam in the truck. Good morning, Rakers. Great news. My power play points continue to roll 5 for 5 this week. I've put in the effort and found two picks for the power play today. Josh Morrissey of the Jets at +185 and or Jesper Bratt at +240. Going to keep the money train rolling. I've also got Donovan Mitchell over 27.5 at +105 over our Raptors. Sort against the Dinos, but home court has tilted me that way. Just $5 on that little trio is +1884. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to all. Stay safe today. That's Adam in the truck.
That might be worth just $5. However, I will say, didn't OG bottle up Donovan Mitchell last time?
Yes, he did.
So just to keep in mind.
Okay, so good morning. Juliana looks to run her streak to 5 games. Say, gosh, she's good. Although she hates going against the Raptors, she says to take Donovan Mitchell over 26.5 points. She still hopes the Raptors win and that Mitchell has a high-scoring game. I'll look for the third time's a charm to go back to Julius Randle over rebounds. He has hit it for me in the last 2 games, and I'll think he'll do it again. Take over 10.5 rebounds at +114. Juliana and I want to wish Ailish and Justin a Merry Christmas to all their loyal texters, Parlay Poppy, Matt in Toronto, Adam in the truck, Corey in Port Hope, etc. Merry Christmas to you all and have a wonderful time spending with family and friends, Ron and Juliana Markham.
Nothing warms your heart.
I love the community, Justin.
Nothing warms your heart like texters texting each other.
Like, I want to have a little party for all of our texters. Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Okay. Well, we usually
people like Donovan Mitchell tonight.
We doubled down. Did we not just see what OG did?
I know.
In the last game, a little national attention. Okay, let's keep going.
Allie in Toronto. Good morning, gang. My wake and rake anchor is Pascal. Hit over 24.5 points at 125 because he's been lights out the last couple games. Happy holidays, wake and rake family.
Still pretty low for Pascal.
That's right. Okay. Good morning. Today for the wake and rake, I'm going with the Dallas Stars -1.5 on the puck line against Montreal. Dallas is a far better team here, and I think Montreal will struggle to keep it close. Hope everyone has a very Merry Christmas and stay safe out there, especially today. Corey from Port Hope.
Feels reasonable.
My wake and rake pick is Pascal over points. That's Jag and Scarborough.
Thank God. We don't have to go Donovan Mitchell. If it's a numbers game, we can go with Pascal over points.
Okay. Two more. It's the people's champ, Parlay Poppy. Matt in Toronto asked if I was on an island from all the wins. And truth be told, I was just brewing heaters in that pick of the millennium. Rare to be selected twice in a row as the anchor, but I may say it's paid off respectively. Ailish confirmed Parlay Poppy had a 9.5. Yeah, he sent me a screenshot of his money. It was like thousands and thousands of dollars.
Oh, okay.
My final pick for Christmas. My final pick for the Christmas is the Winnipeg Jets on the money line against the Washington Capitals. Ooh. Both are on the back to back. Both travel Jets are just way better. Don't overthink it. It's easier than you think. Happy holidays and enjoy the pick. Boxing Day is special as Packers, Lions, and Bengals on the spread along with the Bucks and Chargers money line. 5-team heater that'll buy you a Beamer plus +1178.
Parlay Poppy fully in the bag. I could be convinced on Winnipeg.
Okay, last one. Joey from Woodbridge. Just want to say Merry Christmas to the Wake and Wake fam. Keeping it simple today, Raptors go over or Calgary in regulation.
On that Cleveland Cavaliers defense, one of the best in the league. I think top two last time I was looking at it. It might be a low scoring affair here.
This is the first time I have no idea where to go.
Unless the Raptors fall apart defensively.
This is the first time I have no idea where to go.
My lean would be the Pascal over points. I feel like...
But you just faded the Raptors, and I hate that.
That's okay. If it plays out the same way, Pascal's got to be brilliant. And maybe he's just not brilliant enough.
And the points are pretty low, I'll say. Like, look what he's done. He's got 90 points in the last 2 games, right?
I guess my number two would be the Jets. But we have gone Parlay Poppy over and over.
Yeah,
and over
you know
here.
What? Parlay Poppy, we love you, but we got to spread the ball.
Okay.
Okay, so let me get to Pascal's points here and put it in our parlay. It becomes... I have to do a same game parlay. Just give me a minute.
Yeah.
Talk about something else.
Okay. I'm a little lost here. Julius Randle rebounds. I don't even know who the Knicks are dealing with tonight, but he was all over it against the Raptors. Like, he really is part of the story. He's involved, to say the least. If that rebound total is pretty low, if you're looking to scrap that same game parlay, but I feel like we should focus on the Raptors and focus on what's ahead of us. The anchor submission is normally from the game of the night. But if you're having difficult finding it, we could pivot here to the Winnipeg Jets. Sometimes it's not available. Sometimes it's not at your disposal. You can also, Ailish, just not give the number.
Because yeah, that's generally true.
It's just people bet on different books. People will go to different places. The lines can change a little bit. So maybe it's not the biggest deal in the world if you don't have the number.
Okay, I don't have the number, but let's just recap it.
Let's do it.
Cavs -4.5. That's Justin's pick. Pascal Siakam over 24.5. That's a joint wake and rake anchor pick from multiple people. And over 3.5 shots Alexander Ovechkin tonight against the Winnipeg Jets. That's your wake and rake parlay, your final one before the holiday break.
And we can estimate it at maybe plus 500 in that range.
527, I'm thinking.
527, okay. It'll be different when you grab it or wherever you grab it. Mm-hmm. But either way, let's try and make some money. Hit a third this week because it's been one of the better wake and rake weeks that we have had heading into the holiday break.
Well, before we head into the holiday break, just want to say thank you for a wonderful year. I won't be back until 2023. 2022 was very special. I'm so glad I had multiple iterations of this show to grow and to cultivate a great fan listener base. And I'm very, very happy to be a part of the show. And I'm so glad that you're on it with me, Justin.
Oh, thank you, Alex. Really, I'm very, very happy to be on it. The guys are great. You're great. The listeners are great.
We have a wonderful team here.
We have a lot of fun every day. So appreciate everyone listening. Appreciate the gifts today. Appreciate the gifts from the guys behind the glass. This is lovely. I'm really enjoying it. Can't wait for what 2023 brings.
And next week, you will be on a little bit different hours from Wednesday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m.
Yeah, special fan mid-morning show.
And Haley Salvian will be co-hosting with you.
Yep.
Which will be really fun. There's a different lineup next week, obviously, because everyone takes different time off. So take a look. I think it'll be on our Sportsnet 590 website to see the changes. But be back. You'll be back next week. I'll be back in January. Can't wait to connect with everybody then. Have a very safe, very happy holidays. Watch out for the storm, and I hope everybody has a wonderful holiday break.
Check those radars. Be safe, everyone.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal, and a happy new year.